News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Should we have a drum roll? No, we don't need a drum roll this early, do we? Are we on the air? Are you plugged in? Melissa Sargent, good morning.
And
try your cables. Wait, we should try this before the show. There you go. Grab another mic over there if you need one. But the thing is, we are here on the radio with Texas History Begins in El Paso. We say that all the time because this is the El Paso History Radio Show. It's a reality that I am finding out that we are actually the people who have the first history in Texas that was recorded primarily by the Europeans. And if you want to get big and excited about it, we may have the geology history as well. But I mean, is when the Europeans showed up and started writing things down, the first actions that they ever recorded was El Paso area. So there you go. That's that claim anyway. Enough of that. So KTSM AM 690, and where else?
Also, if you go
grab that other mic, Melissa. This is not working for you. Yeah, just. Sergio, we need some help
okay,
in here.
Are we there?
Okay. We're there. Yes, sir.
Yes, we can go to iHeartRadioApp.com or iHeartRadio.com, and you can get the iHeartRadio app, and you can take us on your computers, your smartphones, your tablets, take us anywhere that you travel, or just while you're out doing shopping or doing chores.
Well, that's what happens to a lot of people on Saturday morning. They say, oh, man, I missed something because you guys went off and had to go shopping. You can always find that archive on ephistory.com.
That's right, if you miss it, so cool.
All right, trivia, what about that? Yeah, I think you're back.
Trivia.
Over.
I think I'm back there.
You're back over here.
Hello.
Trivia.
I love playing musical microphones.
Oh, well, we got five of them in here now to work. Well, I can put two more in if we. Anyway, so trivia. We're going to do trivia?
Yes, we're going to do trivia today. And in the first hour, we're going to be giving away $20 in food certificates to Pepe's Mexican Restaurant. And Pepe's has a great deal for our radio audience anyway. And you want to walk in and ask for the Radio Free Salsa Sampler. You'll get a bowl of chips and four bowls of Pepe's special sauces, the chili con carne, chili con queso, red enchilada, and the regular green and the regular salsa, and it's always free. So all you have to do is just tell them that you heard this special on KTSM 690 AM and the El Paso History Radio Show.
And it's free because you heard it on the radio.
That's right.
Making it in the radio.
And also we got a ton of DVDs to give away. So
always,
you got a choice.
Always DVDs.
$20 in Pepe's or a El Paso Gold DVD, Smelter, the Ghost... Ghost tours. I don't have them close.
I'm gonna push this morning. We had the 7:30 show. We talked about the smelter and ghosts over there. So we're gonna push Ghost for Smelter.
Well, yeah, it was the first one I named was Smelter.
Well, it's a different look at El Paso history. That's for sure. All right, let's talk about the history at hand here. We have on this morning a discussion about the trolleys.
The trolleys.
And we have a guy who would love to be one of those trolley conductors. He happens to be a city rep at the time. But I'll bet you, if you had a chance, you'd run one of those Peter Svarsbine, wouldn't you?
I'd strongly consider it.
Ah, yes, you would. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
Peter, good to see you here. We're talking trolleys, basically, because the trolley tracks are moving up and down the hill over there. On
They had a cement pour this past week down from on Oregon from Schuster to Nevada, more or less.
A cement pour. What are you saying?
So at around 2 o'clock in the morning... they have cement trucks that go along. They have a crew of about a dozen that go and pour down the cement between the tracks and lay down the track line with cement.
They're stuck in there pretty good.
They are back here in El Paso, yes.
Oh, that's cool. And how close is this to the original line? He went up to Sunset Heights somewhere.
So the original line way back in the day had up to 63 miles of line. There was a line that went out to Ysleta. There was a line that went out to Fort Bliss. A streetcar line that went up Manhattan Heights, as well as a Mesa line that went up right up to Madeline Park.
So right up Mesa itself.
And in addition to that, there was a smelter line that went through Sunset Heights. That old bridge that they knocked down, that entrance from Sunset Heights down into Paisano, actually had the streetcar there. And then there was also the longest running and most important part of the line, arguably, the Golden Horseshoe. And that was... down El Paso Street to San Antonio and then back down Stanton Street.
Crossing into Mexico, So yes. That was a big deal. Now, at this point, is there any consideration for redrawing the lines into Mexico?
That's a good question. So I would say, I want to say maybe 8 months ago, maybe 10 months ago, there was a discussion by council to talk about phase two and phase three of the streetcar. And originally the idea was that phase two would extend out into the Medical Center of the Americas and phase three would go into Ciudad Juarez. The council at the time with a lot of my direction and others decided that it would be better to start planning now for the second phase to go into Ciudad Juarez. And, you know, to go back into Mexico is not a quick process. You're looking at presidential treaties. You're looking at treaties between states, between countries, between mayors. But it's probably one of the most important things because, as you know, here on the border, true border security is economic security and economic opportunity for both of our cities.
So you get the trolleys back. You see what happens, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll go to war.
Well, I mean, talking to a lot of people on the streets, there's a lot of excitement about these streetcars, and the question is not if we should go back to Mexico, but when are we going back to Mexico?
And also, you're going to go back in the old cars. Are they all going to be old cars? All of them?
All six streetcars currently are going to be the PCC streetcars. A little bit of history about them. They're probably the height of Art Deco design as it relates towards transportation.
On Facebook, we put the picture of them out in the desert, and I was looking for your face. I don't think you were in that picture.
Probably not.
But you were in some of those pictures.
Yeah, I definitely was.
So you pull them out of the desert.
Yep. FDR approved. FDR wanted a streetcar in the 1930s that could run in any temperate climate in the United States. There was four streetcar manufacturers at the time. The design that we have, the PCC, was the one that FDR personally approved by himself.
PCC means something.
Presidential Conference
Car. Ah, okay.
So our cars, when they're up and running, will be older than San Francisco's. They will be ADA compliant. They'll have brand new HVAC. They'll have Wi-Fi. They'll have bike racks. And the insides, the guts of the streetcar, will be completely modern and new. They'll actually be able to plug in an Ethernet cord to do diagnostics for the engine and the brakes.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it's really this wonderful mix of us honoring our past and our history while also planning for a future. We have this technology 100 years ago of all-electric streetcars that a lot of our great neighborhoods were able to develop around. And now, 100 years later, más y menos, we're reinstituting that streetcar line, a slightly different route, but also to do it to encourage thoughtful redevelopment and to also honor our past and have some pride with ourselves going in the past and going into the future.
I think everybody's getting a kick out of it. I mean, $95 million from the state of Texas that we either took it or somebody else was going to get it.
$97 million state grant. Yep. It was a $97 million state grant that came off of $4.2 million study that the city did, basically get the plan shovel ready.
Had to pay for that.
Had to pay for that. And if we did that, we would get the $97 million. It's a 4.8-mile line, about 27 stops. I think it goes through four or five different historic neighborhoods.
Is it possible to have that track in and working, and all of a sudden you think, well, hey, let's send it further up Mesa. Can you put a switch on it and build some more?
Well, Mesa's a little complicated because it is a state road.
Well,
Mesa is a state road.
They get uppity.
But, given, when it comes to government, probably like most things in life, do you have the money to do it, you know?
Well, that would be right at the median.
The difference between the bus rapid transit line that we have, the Brio, and the streetcar is a little bit different in terms of philosophy of transportation. A streetcar line has more stops closer together. The idea you get on and get off, the idea that you can create these sort of nodes of transit-oriented development. A bus rapid transit line or a Brio is more similar to a light rail. It's quicker service. There's not as many stops. They're spread out at least a mile apart.
Higher volume.
And so the idea is that, you'd be able to park near a Brio and be able to take it straight downtown, as opposed to, say, a streetcar where you may live close to there or you may park in there, but there's more activities around those stops.
What's the difference in passengers on those two devices? I don't know the trolley. I mean, I didn't prepare to ask you this, but it just occurred to me. The trolley's got to be smaller.
The trolley is smaller than that, but I think it has more than a regular size bus. I don't know the exact numbers right now.
I'm sorry.
I didn't want to misquote. misquoted and say,
but they just look bigger. Yeah. Okay, enough of that. Let's talk about trolley history, because the trolleys were the thing that made El Paso work in 100 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, the trolleys really defined a large part of our identity. They were a reflection of who we were. And the fact is that border crossing defines us. Both it defines El Paso and it defines Juarez. And it's defined our economy and our culture for hundreds of years. You know, when you talk about the trolleys, it starts off with Mandy the Mule.
Oh, yes.
In 1880s, she was a wonderful donkey who would take people safe across the border. In 1902, Mandy was retired when the El Paso Electric Railway Company, which is now known as El Paso Electric, one of our biggest companies out of this area, they had instituted an all-electric rail line. They put Mandy on a float, gave her the finest carrots that the city had.
Can you imagine the finest carrots?
Well, there was more than one mule, though, too, wasn't there?
Well, they're all named Mandy.
Yes, but I mean, at the time when they retired him, there were several of them, weren't there?
Yeah, but we don't want to tell people that.
Oh, okay.
There's one Mandy.
Mandy, two, three, four.
She's still living at Jimmy Bowen's ranch.
No, she's in the museum.
Well, no, that's the other one.
That's Mandy, too.
But that was very historic. You happen to know offhand how many other cities in the country had this kind of, I don't mean international, had trolleys. They were everywhere.
Well, that's the thing, right? And that's one of the sort of untold stories of American history. And really, after World War II, I think there was up to 180 towns and cities in America that had streetcar lines.
Okay.
And systematically, after World War II, General Motors, Firestone would go and buy out streetcar lines, either convert them to bus lines or just shut them down entirely. It worked well because, you know, there was less competition as it related towards the interstate and related towards people using cars, buying cars, and driving out to suburbs.
They were just killing competition.
Essentially, yeah.
Uh-huh.
There's a great documentary called The Great Streetcar Conspiracy.
Oh, boy. Everywhere you look, so quit looking.
So Europe, in contrast, after World War II, they needed any single way they could to travel. And so the reason why a lot of towns throughout Europe still have their streetcar line is because they maintained them.
Well,
and didn't sell them.
And also, the mentality in Europe is less cars, more public transportation. I think maybe it's because the distances are further in America. We depend on cars, city to city, that kind of thing.
The streetcar always was, as it related towards American cities and towns, it was never a place to get between two cities.
Right.
It was always a way to get around those cities and those towns. And you have the sort of development. You know, you have Sunset Heights, you have Manhattan Heights, you have Kern Place. Those were streetcar suburbs back in the day.
Well, Tobin went out to Tobin Park in the Grandview area. There was a line out there. Mr. Tobin created an area that he wanted to have populated, so he put a line in there, as I understand it.
Yeah.
Also, one went down to the Isleta area. And
yeah, Isleta and Urban.
Is there an idea to take one there again in your planning?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty considerably more expensive. You know, I think there was some discussion at one point about what would it cost to do a light rail, say down I-10,
right,
from say Joe Battle 375 to downtown, and they were looking at upwards to $2 billion.
Yeah. You're talking serious.
It's a serious investment to spread that. I mean, I think that I think that's going to be a success in terms of what we're building now, and the hope is to continue that momentum into looking into other lines.
This would be interesting. I mean, I rode the streetcars when I was a kid. I mean, the token with the funny holes in it.
Yeah, we did it in Long Beach, California.
I was going to ask you, did you have that same kind of experience?
Yeah, Long Beach. Yeah, I used to ride those as a kid, but not very often because we had our cars.
But,
it was much easier.
Are those trolleys still active?
I don't think. Long Beach may have reinstalled. No, they kept theirs a certain line, I think.
But
been a long time ago.
Our historic cars have been such that they were purchased, a couple of them, Peter, by people like in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And they're running the El Paso car in San Francisco now, I understand.
Yeah, well, one of the things that had sort of galvanized my sort of activism back in 2012 when I'd come back from New York after starting my thesis project for the El Paso Transnational Trolley was the fact that I was on a citizens redesign committee for San Jacinto Plaza. Nestor Valencia was the chair. And one of the recommendations for that review committee, aside from keeping the alligators there, putting in ping pong tables, continuing the balustrades, and most importantly, keeping it as a plaza, as a formal plaza, was looking at doing a streetcar cafe. utilizing one of the old streetcars.
Oh.
Well, when you know, we had our recommendations, we submitted them to staff, and when the deputy city manager, Jane Shang, was there to present the final design for San Jacinto, we're talking about January of 2012, there was no mention or of a streetcar, and so we asked, and they said, well, you know, those streetcars are pretty old in the desert, and, you know, they can't ever run again, let alone even be used for a restaurant.
Oh, they were starting to lobby you early.
And besides, the city is already trying to sell them to San Francisco. So there was already a move to sell the streetcars at that point in time back in 2012. And from that moment, myself and a small group of citizens went to start collect signatures for the 2012 quality of life bonds. That was the comment cards that people had. And we ended up, in a little under 2 months, collected more signatures than any other project there. So as that relates to San Francisco, they have all their streetcars that they have are painted with different historic colorways of different cities throughout the country. And one is of our PCC.
But it's our car.
It's not our car.
Oh, it's not our car.
Painted like our car.
See, okay, Peter, I feel better already.
Yeah, no,
they don't have one of our cars.
They wanted ours, but instead we decided to go and fight for our history.
It's been guys like you on the front line making sure this is all lining up.
Yeah.
You and Prince McKenzie.
Yeah, Prince McKenzie and the Charlie Godfather, Ron Dawson.
Ron, in Arizona. Oh, my God. All right, we're going to take a break here. Peter Svarzbein. I got to get used to saying your name, but I will.
I'm not going anywhere.
It's such a cool name to say.
Mr. Peter will be here for a few more minutes. You're going to actually take off and go to El Paso High School for that adventure.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's the 100th anniversary. They're going to be attempting a Guinness World Records for largest high school reunion photo.
Yeah, that's it. Go for it.
Now we got to ask him, who's he rooting for in the football game?
But on your exit,
Tigers.
Oh, come on. I went to Austin. I can't stand this. But anyway.
I love Austin.
Well, the thing is, though, we're going to ask Max Grossman to come in here and talk about it in a little bit.
Yeah, he has some wonderful news.
Oh,
yeah,
good stuff
news
going on down there. And we have call screeners galore in the control
room
now.
They're overflowing.
We had none. Now we have seven.
Hey, be careful what you ask for.
I guess so. So let's do some trivia here. We'll come back in after that. And also, second hour, we're talking Concordia.
That's right. Well, we were talking trolleys today. The first question is, when did trolley mule Mandy retire?
Okay, we
and
talked
moved to
about
Sun City.
Her. Yeah, and did she? When did she go to Bowen Ranch permanently?
What year was that?
What year? There's your question. All right, what do they get? They get this stuff here.
Well, we've got all your videos here. We've got the Ghost Stories Volume 4, El Paso, Tom Lee's El Paso. We've got Legends of El Paso's Mountains, The Smelter, which has some great, it's a great video if you've never seen it, Mexican Revolution Sites, Gunfights of the Old West, and Ghost Stories Volume 2.
All right, we have a caller.
$20 in gift certificates.
$20 a pet. We have a caller before we go. Now, Roy, you better not be looking for these prizes, are you, Roy?
Well, I might try that, but I have
there
a question for Mr. Svarzbein.
Okay.
He mentioned one of the second or third phases of the streetcar thing was to the Medical Center of the Americas. Where the heck is that?
You're looking at where you have the Medical Center of the Americas over there by UMC and the Texas Tech School of Medicine.
So who named it the Medical Center of the Americas?
Recently.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been the sort of name of that area for almost a decade now.
It used to be Thomason. That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, okay.
If you want to do trivia, I got to put you back on hold. Otherwise, go away.
I'll do the trivia.
Okay, but in that case, what I want you to do is also agree to come to lunch with us today, okay?
I can't drive right now.
All right, we'll get to your trivia. You got to hold on, though. We got to do a breaker. Hold on.
Okay.
All right, Roy's on too. He's going to play trivia. We're going to do it right now because we're going to take a break. Call us up on this number to get the trivia.
544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Bring home the fun.
Play casino games on your PC.
These are the same games you play at the casino.
But you can play them at home.
To get you started, here's an offer that'll save you 40% off your entire order.
Go to Phantom EFX. Choose your games and enter promo code iHeart at checkout.
PhantomEFX.com. Promo code iHeart at checkout.
Play casino games at home.
And save 40% at PhantomEFX.com. Promo code iHeart.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite, then launched it into space to send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. ElPasoHelpWanted.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. ElPasoHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Don't miss the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Blowout Sale this weekend. Come see the revolutionary Michael Phelps Swim Spas by Master Spas. Save thousands at the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Blowout Sale at the home show at the El Paso Convention Center. For details, call 1-800-SPA-SALE.
Type in your favorite band, AC/DC, and boom. iHeartRadio creates a custom artist station that'll shake you all night long. And did I mention artist stations are commercial free, always. Perfect for those about to rock. Plus, the more you thumb up and down songs, the more iHeartRadio fine-tunes your station. You'll be... all your favorite music. All your favorite stations. All free. Listen at iHeartRadio.com or download our free iHeartRadio app.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
Hey, that's an easy one. Nobody's caught. Well, we got Roy on hold.
We don't have nobody. We got Roy.
Roy's not nobody, but we could have a second question if somebody else calls 544-5876 and tells us things like, what was that question?
When did the trolley mule Mandy, what year did she retire?
Oh, you think Roy knows that? We'll find out in a minute. History lessons right now. Harvey Girls of El Paso meeting Monday, October 10th, Union Passenger Station Depot. Where is that? That's 700 San Francisco. That's 2 to 4 p.m. And their program is Anecdotes of Fred Harvey. Visitors welcome. 591-2326 for details. Southwest Chapter, Railway Locomotive Historical Society, meeting Wednesday, October 12th at Frutas.
Frutas.
You need to trill your R's.
Yes.
When you do Frutas.
That's a pretty cool place.
That's Frutas Fraternal Club and Social Club, and that's wherever that is. That's
Have you been there?
No.
Oh, my God, you got to go down there.
It's an old brewery, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an old brewery, but then it was also a fraternal club, and it's tucked back in there. It's a really cool old place.
3803 Frutas, 6 to 8 for the railway people. The role of railroads in Mexico during the Mexican Revolution. That'll be cool. Prince is doing that one. Same number, 591-2326. El Paso Genealogical Society. Well, there's two of them. This old bones, old rocks.
Yeah, looking for your claiming rocks.
Old bones and old rocks. It will be paleontology, but that's not here or there. 3500 McCrae, that's on October 13th, Thursday. Genealogical Society meeting program, using and understanding DNA to trace your family history. I wonder how many people in this valley are related to Pancho Villa. Can you imagine
everybody.
A DNA test for that?
Oh, I'm related to him.
So get a hold of those people. There at 584-2339. Almost done here. Chapter of the DAR meeting Friday, October 14th, Great American Land and Cattle. Call these people up. Julie Wilson, they're going to talk. This is 11 a.m. lunch thing. My Texas Family History. This is in El Paso, 760-5775. And you've got stuff.
Oh, yes. We got the El Paso Corral of the Westerners will meet October 21st, and that's a Friday night at the Country Inn and Suites at Sunland Park. Or at Sunland Park and I-10. This month's program is the Glory Days of Fort Fillmore and Mesilla Valley, presented by John Smith. Visitors welcome, but must RSVP by October 17th to this phone number, which is 759-9538. And then we're going to be talking about Concordia Cemetery later today, but also the 29th of October this year, we're doing Dia de los Muertos a couple of days ahead of time on a Saturday. And the Dia de los Muertos Festival is going to have exhibits, entertainment, special movie. Admission fees are only $5, two for military and seniors, students $1, and children under 6 free. But it's going to be a great day to celebrate the Dia de los Muertos in Concordia Cemetery, where you can see the altars and all that.
Well, you said that has gotten very big.
Oh, yeah.
Over there. It'd be even almost bigger than you walk through history.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Well, it's unique. I mean, the walk through history is unique, too.
They all are. far. Concordia is unique.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a cool
But support
cool place.
The El Paso history. Get out and see the. And second hour, we'll tell you more about this than you ever wanted to know.
Yes.
No, not quite that much.
You'll learn some new stuff.
You really will. All right, going in order, since Roy called early and had a question, but we put him back on hold. Okay, Roy, do you have any idea about Mandy the Mule? What year?
Well, a little backstory. My grandfather worked as a rancher, a cowboy, until he went to work for the El Paso Electric Railroad Company in 1901. I suspect 1900.
Oh, you are so close, but no cigar, Roy. Thank you very much
for
playing.
You were close.
No, sir.
See you next
week.
see you next event. Okay, moving on. We're here. We've got more people to talk to. Going to Leo. Leo, what year did Mandy retire?
Good morning, Leo.
Yeah, this is Bob.
Oh, Bob.
It's Leo yeah. Bob.
Bob?
Actually, it was a year later, 1901.
No.
Peter.
No.
But thank you for trying.
Close, but no cigar.
And if you're going to argue with us, you got to talk to Peter Svorsbein.
Me, too, because I looked it up,
You
too.
Did. I had Leo down here. That was Bob. All right, now, who's this next guy we don't know? This would be Larry we don't know. Larry, is that you?
Yeah.
Okay, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
We got somebody to talk to, Larry. What do you think? What year?
One more year, 1902.
There we go.
Peter.
He is correct.
He is correct. There you go. All right, fair enough. Hey, this is how this goes here in this magic radio. We got Larry, okay, what you got? DVD potential?
Or $20 in food certificates for Pepe's and Canutillo.
And some trolley suckers.
I'll take the certificate.
$20 to Pepe's. And Peter, and
some,
what else?
And some El Paso streetcar stickers as well.
You have stickers with you?
Stickers.
I have stickers in the car.
Hey, you have to have them in here.
I have a question.
Sure.
Real quick, what would they call in Spanish trolley cars?
The tranvías.
Yes, sir.
I thought it was El Trolley.
Say that word again so us gringos can get this.
They call them los tranvías.
Tranvías.
Yeah.
Max, just turn a volume up down to where they plug in. We got Max in there plugging in here. We're going to talk to Max in a minute. And Peter, you're actually going to kind of like vacate here. Do you have any more thoughts on some of the... Oh, by the way, Larry,
he's
we're
taking
put
the trolley
hold,
out of here.
Put Larry on hold, and Shelly will come pick up. And Larry, you okay?
Okie doke.
Thanks a lot, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks for
that.
Listening, Larry.
He won the Pepe's in there. Anybody else want to
and
talk
stickers.
To us on the radio? We're done with that. You got another radio caller? Okay, what do you got? Leo. Oh, now we got a Leo. Ha-ha, there was a Leo. Leo, got you on the radio. What's your... What? Do we have a question for Leo?
Yeah.
We sure do. Leo, you ready?
Leo?
Leo. I hear... Somebody's out there, but is it Leo? Somebody speak. Okay, Leo, we're going to go away...
Yep, there he's gone.
We're going to go away without you.
By the
you.
Way, the official date was July 11th, 1902.
And you were there. No, you weren't there. But no, what was that date for, Peter?
July 11th, 1902 was when the electric streetcar officially opened up. That was a date that I found from a monorail plan. The city had looked back in 1965 at a monorail between El Paso and Juarez.
Wouldn't that have been cool?
It would have been amazing.
As I understand it, the funding was in hand, and the next mayor came in and said, nah, we're not doing that.
Am I right? There was a larger issue. You know, when folks talk about why the streetcar closed and the monorail, it comes down to, I guess, ideas of what of vision and perspective. And so for the monorail, there quite honestly was a difference between what the Mexican side saw and what the United States side saw of what this monorail would do. And for the Americans, this was going to be an efficient and quick way to get shoppers and get business folks across the border. And for the Mexican side, they saw this as a Disneyland, as an Epcot kind of tourist kind of not such a functional thing as much as an entertainment system.
It would have worked.
It would have worked regardless for both of them, but egos came involved and new mayor.
Stuff happens. Yeah. All right. Peter Svorsbein, you want to stick a little bit further? You got another thought or two, or are you walking out of here?
Is there anybody else on the...
We don't have any callers coming in. We're going to take a break here.
No, I think that the line itself is going to be 4.8 miles. The gauge for it is specific where the track is going to be more cyclist-friendly. When these cars come back, it's going to be an amazing day. And I think it's really going to help with a lot of the other... redevelopment opportunities and historic preservation opportunities that occur in this community.
And the entire history of downtown El Paso seems to be coming alive.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is that you don't go and fix up these historic gems. You don't go and fix up these historic streetcars in order to have new things all the way around them. So I think it makes the argument for historic preservation as a vital component of our redevelopment of downtown much more feasible and important.
One last thought. I was always wondering how and why would a renovation and a resurrection of downtown history occur? Stuart Myers sat right there where you are, and I asked him that question. And he said, well, when y'all put that $500 million into the bond, I was impressed in 2012. That's why I'm here. Yep. He followed that thought pattern. So here we are. The people of El Paso did this.
Yeah. Yep.
So, well, Peter, thanks a lot for coming
problem.
In. We'll talk to you again, and be careful at El Paso High.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You take care.
Enjoy the game.
And we're going to take a break. Call us if you think you need to. Otherwise, Max is coming in next hour.
Right.
What's that phone number?
Maximus. Call 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-788-0662. That's 800-788-0662. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-788-0662. 800-788-0662. That's 800-788-0662. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Reminder to Remington rifle owners. Owners of certain Remington rifles should take notice of a proposed nationwide class action settlement. The plaintiffs claim that the trigger mechanism of certain bolt-action rifles, such as the Remington Model 700 and certain other models, are defectively designed and can result in firing without a trigger pull. Remington denies these allegations, but to serve its valued customers, may replace these new triggers for no charge with a brand new Exmark Pro trigger or other trigger mechanism. Safety has always been a priority for Remington. You may opt out or object by November 18. To participate or learn more, visit RemingtonFirearmsClassActionSettlement.com or call 1-800-876-5940. That's 1-800-876-5940. 1-800-876-5940. Visit RemingtonFirearmsClassActionSettlement.com or call 1-800-876-5940.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, visions of the past and future of downtown El Paso. There's an exhibition going on now promoting the history and culture through photographs, tours, contemporary artwork, educational materials to remind El Pasoans of a time when the city enjoyed a booming economy and subsequently underwent an architectural transformation that rivals some of the biggest cities in the country, and show them what they can look forward to after our historic core is revitalized. Now, that was a sentence written by a professor.
Yes.
I'll bet you anything. Yes. Look how
and
long
I've referred
that.
Somebody to go down there. It's in from out of town this weekend. They're excited.
But the exhibition goes to the end of the month, and it's all free tours all around the Plaza Theater area, but there's friendly family activities, and you can get a hold of these people. They are basically the Texas Trove Society. give a call down there. Also, the Visitor Center, 400 West San Antonio, they know stuff going on. And these buildings are now dressed up, the Roberts Banner Building, the Crest Building, the Plaza Motor Inn, and participant artists. One guy just left the room. It was Peter Svarsbein. They're doing some of their kind of stuff. And one guy just entered the room, and he's kind of in charge of some of this. And his name is Dr. Max Grossman. Dr. Max, what about this? Good morning.
Buenos dias. It's so great to be on. I love you guys. The show's incredible. It's an amazing feature of our city, this live history show.
Well, thank you kindly. Now, this is an exhibit that I was just reading that you're a part of.
Yeah, I curated the portion of the exhibit, which is in the ground level windows of the Plaza Hotel. And I tell the architectural history of downtown El Paso from its origins in the late 19th century through 1930. 55 historic photographs with text. I tell the three phases, adobe, Victorian, and concrete. The photos are amazing, blown up to as large as 6 by 8 feet, and they wrap all the way around the building. That's a historic part of the exhibition.
It's downtown now.
That's right.
Exhibition. Okay, now, you had another announcement about Facebook and such.
Facebook has just been such a great promoter for all things that we've been doing, all history, all kinds of items, and I want to let some people know that we haven't forgotten you out there. We need to give a shout-out to the best Facebook pages on the Internet. And one is Remember in El Paso Win, who has over 27,000 people following them or likes.
They're all across the country.
Oh, I know.
They're
around the world, actually.
Yeah.
And where you'll also find some really great historic pictures taken of old El Paso and New Mexico, and there's thousands of them there. And then another fabulous source on the Facebook page is called, I lost it. Oh, there it is, El Paso and the surrounding area way back when, which is run by Mark Lindell. And the Remember in El Paso Facebook page is run by Barbara Bainey Givens and Mario Robles.
And also Hector Sanchez is big in there.
Oh, Hector's in there, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, Max Grossman now joins us. But also, Max, we have a phone call. Should we just take and see if they want to talk to you, me, or nobody?
Already,
here
sure.
Here we go. Got Rick on the phone. Good morning, Rick. What's going on with you?
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Peace and love to you all, and I love your show.
Thank you.
What's the question?
Oh, you want to do trivia? We do actually have another one.
He called the ass.
Okay,
Let's give it to him.
I can invent a question.
No, we got one here. Go ahead. And this was said on the show.
Now, this was said in the first half of the show. How long is the new trolley track route?
How many miles? Peter said
miles?
It exactly.
I thought it was in feet.
Well, if you give it in feet, I can't calculate that very well. But the question is in miles.
No, it's actually
in miles,
yeah.
It's in miles, 4.8 miles.
Oh, listen to you, Smarty Pants.
You got it right, dude. Like, you're not going to get it. You knew that one. All right, you get yourself.
He's setting us up. That's what he's doing.
I'm a genius, and so are you all.
Well, thank you much. All right, we got DVDs left on this hour, so take your pick. I would push the Ghost 4 video if I were you.
Ghost 4, or Gunfights the Old West, Mexican Revolution Sites, Smelter. Oh, we already talked about that one. Revolution, let's see. Tom Lee's Legends of the Mountains.
Pick one. What you need?
Legends of the Mountains.
There you go.
There's a mountain. It's a celebration of the mountains right now.
It is the week of the mountains. Thank you very much, Rick. Thanks for playing. Thanks for thinking that we're good people, because sometimes we do that.
We need that. You know?
Yeah, we need that. All right. Thanks a lot. Hold on. Shelly and Nona, we have call screeners all over the place, are going to come on and tell you how to fix this up, all right? I think he's on there. I'm not sure what happened.
He'll stay there.
Oh, yes. And Max, we do have a caller in, Max. Why don't you set the stage real quick and tell us what is the major announcement this week?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have news. Segundo Barrio and Chihuahuita have been added to the National Trust for Historic Preservation's list of 11 most endangered historic places in America.
Yay.
Now, this is a list that is very, very difficult to get on, very competitive, hundreds and hundreds of applications every year. The program was established in the 1980s, and there are only about 250 historic places on that list in our entire country. Very rare that an entire neighborhood is added to that list. This is a huge deal. It's a great honor for El Paso, Texas. I applied for this back in June, thinking, what are the chances? I threw a Hail Mary. What are the odds that we're actually going to get this? Then I was contacted by the National Trust, their Washington headquarters, with the news. And this was announced by the press on Wednesday. This was covered coast to coast. We're talking the AP, CNN, New York Times, LA Times, Time Magazine, all the major networks and papers, all of our local networks, and the news is ongoing because this is an amazing thing for our city, as we're about to learn. And we have on the line a guest from the National Trust, Juvenio Guerra from the Los Angeles field office, who handles a lot of the media outreach for the National Trust. He's on board to explain why this is a good thing for El Paso. Are you on, Juvenio?
Good morning.
Morning.
There he is. Good morning, sir.
Hello, Hovenya. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
So glad to have you on representing the National Trust. Could you please tell our listeners, why is this a good thing for El Paso, for Segundo Barrio and Chihuahuita, two of our oldest neighborhoods, to be added to the National Trust's list of 11 most endangered historic places? Why should we all be happy?
Yeah, sure. Well, excitement is definitely the right word. I know it's called the 11 most endangered list, but we're actually pretty excited to feature Chihuahuita and El Segundo Barrio. primarily, as you saw this week, we've had quite a bit of national and even a couple of international outlets cover the news, and it's just been spreading like wildfire. And we're really, really happy to highlight the neighborhoods, highlight the history, highlight the culture. It's really a good chance to let the rest of the country know about the kinds of things that are going on in El Paso and El Paso's unique history and how it's really shaped the rest of the country.
Hovenya, let me ask you something. How does this affect the individual El Paso? What do we expect individually out of this? Besides getting recognized nationally, what happens? Mm-hmm. What happens to us?
That all depends really on what the community comes together and does, and it all depends really on how the average El Pasoan wants to leverage this attention. We've seen, different things happen for different sites. Most recently, last year, we listed Little Havana on our list, and in the past year, it's been really a conversation changer within Miami. Even a lot of nonprofits that work in Miami decided to take a second look at the neighborhood and at the way that they were doing things. So it's really up to El Paso.
But the point is, you're bringing attention on a national basis of our history that basically even a lot of El Pasoans do not understand, and we don't even know about it. But the fact that Max went for this application, you all agreed with him. And so now I want to know, what's going to happen next? Are we going to have more attention focused on us, or what's going to happen?
Yeah, definitely. The coverage just started, and I know for a fact there are a lot of other organizations out there who are really interested in taking a closer look at the neighborhoods in El Paso. And I'm hoping that the conversation is also starting to change within El Paso. And really, the outcome of this can vary quite a bit. Most of the sites that we've listed, about, I'd say, at least 95% of them have had positive results. For instance, a couple years ago, we listed the John Coltrane House up in New York. We put that on the list, and in the next year, so we were able to get quite a huge amount of donations and pro bono architectural services, and quite a lot of people coming down and taking a second look at the house, and we were able to save it.
So you're thinking, let me just ask, you're thinking that what this is going to do is wake up people to our history, and then maybe they'll start renovating buildings, getting things like that going on?
Yes, that's definitely one of the goals, is to have people really value what's there. El Paso is a growing town, and we feel that one of the keys to its success is its buildings. Studies have shown that neighborhoods with mixed-use buildings, neighborhoods who really tap into their historic buildings, are able to provide a better quality of life for the residents, as opposed to neighborhoods that get demolished and torn down.
Well, I like the fact that also it's bringing a new dimension to El Paso. We're forever being hit up as being an unsafe town to be in, but here now you're getting to spotlight something that makes El Paso so unique to the rest of the country. Right, Max?
That's exactly right, and these two neighborhoods are extremely significant. Even if El Pasoans don't know the particulars of the history of the neighborhoods, we all understand that they're both very important to our local history and culture. Chihuahuita was founded by Spanish land grant nearly 200 years ago. And Segundo Barrio and Chihuahuita together have often been called the Ellis Island of the Southwest because so many Mexican nationals entered our country across our border here and established them first in the tenements and the areas of those two neighborhoods. Now, Chihuahuita is a local historic district, so it has some recognition. But Segundo Barrio, which is much larger, does not have an overlay, not city, not state, and not federal. There's no protection. And there are no signs that really indicate that you're entering the neighborhood when you do. And there's only one National Register monument in both neighborhoods, the Silver Dollar Cafe in Segundo Barrio. Chihuahuita has zero. The other 23 National Register monuments downtown are within a stone's throw of San Jacinto Plaza. So the areas have not received their due. And in the case of Segundo in particular, the neighborhood has been decimated by demolition. I mean, anybody who drives through the neighborhood sees one empty lot after another. And you look at the greatest monuments there, Sacred Heart Church, the Cologne Theater, Bowie Bakery, St. Ignatius, the Second Baptist Church. These buildings do not have any level of national recognition. We've got historic markers, but we can be doing a lot more. And adding the two neighborhoods to the list is part of our strategy to really push and promote the history of the two neighborhoods and eventually develop heritage tourism if some of these buildings can be restored. Isn't that really the direction we want to be heading in Juvenio?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the directions. There's a lot of protection that is needed, and that's not there. And you know, this list has been a good tool for bringing national protection to a lot of different sites. Last year, one of the sites that we listed was the Grand Canyon, and it was a shock to a lot of people to think of the Grand Canyon as an endangered site. But when you look at the whole Grand Canyon, it's only a portion of it that is actually a national park that is actually protected. And the greater Grand Canyon itself lacks some of those national monument protections. And that's something that that's being pushed in the past year. So definitely protections are part of the goals of the list as well.
Herminia, we got to have to take a break here, but I want to thank you for joining us. You're coming in from your office in Los Angeles this morning, right?
Yes, that's true.
Well, thank you for working on a Saturday with us and helping us understand our own history. Appreciate that. We'll be in touch with you, no doubt, for the future. Max has always got something for you to do.
Thank you, Herminia. Thank you, and thanks to everybody at the National Trust for recognizing our history and culture.
Herminia, thank you very much again.
Thank you.
All right, you take care. Bye. We're going to take a break and come back here in just a moment, talk with Max a little bit more. Then we're going to talk Concordia, because is all over the place today. 544-what?
5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-480-1941 and use the promo code IHEART. That's 800-480-1941 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code IHEART.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson paid by Open Jar.
Attention, this is an important message for anyone who had an IVC filter implanted to prevent blood clots from traveling to their heart or lungs. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. If you or a loved one has had an IVC filter implanted, you may be entitled to substantial compensation, even if you haven't experienced any injury at this time. IVC filters have been considered an accident waiting to happen by many. Call the IVC helpline now at 800-216-HURT for a free consultation with an experienced attorney. IVC filters have been known to fracture and cause tearing of the heart, lungs, internal bleeding, and even death. Our network of experienced attorneys are ready to fight for you. You pay no fees unless your case is settled, but time is limited to make a claim. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one has an IVC filter implanted, call the IVC helpline now. Operators are standing by 24/7 to take your call at 800-216-HURT. 800-216-HURT. That's 800-216-HURT.
Don't miss the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Blowout Sale this weekend. Come see the revolutionary Michael Phelps Swim Spas by Master Spas. Save thousands at the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Blowout Sale at the home show at the El Paso Convention Center. For details, call 1-800-SPA-SALE.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot going on next week to tell you about for sure. Get involved in the Border Legends concert next Saturday night, a week on October. And they have bands from 4 p.m. to 11 p.m. Jay Nye, Twisted Hams. You want to see what a Twisted Ham band can do?
I don't think you want to see the Twisted Ham.
Rod Crosby and the Intruders. Oh, my God. Terry Manning, Route 66. That's next week, and Rick will be on the show next
week.
That's right. So what do you got?
Okay, right now what's going to be happening starting at 12 o'clock today. You can go right after the radio show from noon to 4 p.m., you're going to go on the Sunset Tour of Homes ticket. Oh, God, I'm reading wrong today. Let me go back to the beginning. This is the 13th annual Sunset Heights Tour of Homes, and that's again today from 12 to 4 p.m. And the tours are only $10 a person. Adults and kids are $5. And you can pick the tickets up at Hal Marcus Gallery or at the Burgess House. And you've got 10 homes to walk through. It's a great way to see some of those really wonderful old homes over in Sunset Heights.
533-9090. Call up Hal. Real quick, we got Kelly on the phone. Kelly, what's on your mind?
Jackson, I was just listening to the 11 City Historic Site thing, and you were talking about the Segundo Barrio. There's also a Newark Methodist Hospital down there that's on some kind of historical register. It also needs to be recognized.
Fair enough. Newark Medical Hospital?
Yeah, Newark Methodist. Newark Methodist, yeah, hospital.
All right. We'll look into it. Thanks for letting us know.
Oh, all right. Thanks a lot, bro. Be cool.
All right. Let's talk to Mr. Max. Max, you're back. Good morning.
Well, thank you very much. And Jackson, Melissa, thanks again for having
you're
me
welcome.
On. And it is a delight to discuss the good news about being added to the 11 most endangered historic places in America's list. We're talking about Segundo Barrio and Chihuahuita, two of our oldest and most historic neighborhoods. And you've seen a lot on television, you've read a lot in the local newspapers, but I just want to assure everybody that being added to the endangered list is a very positive thing, because first and foremost, it calls national attention to our culture and history, and elevates the conversation about the two neighborhoods really to the national level. And this is a really good thing, because we should be proud of our culture, we should be promoting it. Secondly, the list highlights the plight of the two neighborhoods. And whereas in the heart of downtown, when a building is up for demolition, a Trost building, for example, it makes the news, there's a lot of discussion. Unfortunately, in Segundo Barrio, many buildings, indeed entire city blocks, disappear overnight or whatever, with hardly any controversy.
And the history goes with it.
And we've lost, I'm going to say, close to 50% of the architectural fabric of the neighborhood since World War II.
And so the point is, this is going to now be looking at being saved.
Yes. And thirdly, I would say that the list attracts the attention of nonprofits, of government agencies, of business development groups that can potentially invest big money in Segundo Barrio and Chihuahuita. And when you consider this list, which comes at the perfect moment, because we're just about to conduct an architectural survey of downtown, of Chihuahuita, of Segundo Barrio, a survey of almost 1,200 buildings. And we're going to be creating, hopefully with the support of the neighborhoods, national registered districts in Segundo, in Chihuahuita, that will take the history of the two neighborhoods to the next level.
Dr. Max Grossman, thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
We'll see you in the streets.
See you later.
Next hour, we talk Concordia. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.